Hi, and welcome to the exclusive Defunctland Patreon podcast. My name is Kevin Perger, and today I am joined by a very special guest, Disney Daniel Becker. Disney Daniel Becker, how are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing mighty fine, if I may. I was actually thinking, you know, Orlando, you and I have been to Orlando a few times together, and we've had some good times there, and I was getting nostalgic for the times that we stayed in off-property hotels.
Yeah, we could talk about that for sure. We stayed at two of the, well, technically, the two that we stayed at that one trip were on property, but they just weren't owned by Disney.
Right, and they've been there forever, right?
They've been there for a while, and they recently got like a mega facelift, I think, because they're gorgeous resorts now.
Yeah, but I remember seeing way back when, I'm watching all these vacation guides videos, and they had them there as like the other hotels you can stay in. I was like, that looks like where we stayed. It's the what was it? Was it the Wyndham?
Yeah, we did a Wyndham for one of them. I think the other one's a Hilton. Yeah.
Yeah. They all blend together. But those off-property hotels, they're wild. Like
they're full resorts. They're full Disney resorts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite honestly let's be real. It's what the Swan and Dolphin is, you know what I mean? Like it's like that, it's, you know, it's one of those just like non IP, you know, non like overly themed yet beautiful resorts. They're gorgeous in there.
But does a Swan and Dolphin, so like, I've always wondered, what's the distinction that makes a Swan and Dolphin not just a Hilton? Because it was built with Disney in mind, because they get the licensing to use the Walt Disney World name. You know, their restaurants show up in their reservation system, which I always found interesting.
Yeah, that's true. I honestly have no idea. It might be one of those old contract things, because like Disneyland Hotel or something. You never know. Well, I mean, because I'm sure it's quantifiable. I'm sure we could research it. But who has the time? Let's just base the speculation.
Let's decide right now what we guess the truth is, and then use that as the basis for the next 45 minutes. I assume that. And based on that assumption, I hope I'm right. No, like, because I've stayed at both the Swan and the Dolphin multiple times, because you get great deals on hotels.com, and it is smack dab in the middle of the resort. Like, that is the center of the action, is the Swan and Dolphin, because it's the closest hotel to the Magic Kingdom, minus the Magic Kingdom resorts, and right. It is, you could see it from Epcot, you can walk to Epcot, I think. You can walk to the boardwalk. You can walk to Hollywood Studios eventually. And I remember when we were, I don't know if you weren't there for the Rise of the Resistance opening, but we had a really dumb plan. So let me give you some context, everybody. So when Rise of the Resistance opened, which is at Disney's Hollywood Studios, if none of you have any idea what theme parks are, Disney's Hollywood Studios, which you could get to. Okay, so let me back up. So we were going, and the plan was to go like 4:30 in the morning. To get on this, to get on the ride, because it was the first day it opened. We thought if we get there at 4:30, they might let us in at 5 and blah, 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 blah. But we thought, okay, so we know that if we go by car, here's our route. We go from the house to Hollywood Studios. They then stop us at the gate, the ticket gate, to get the parking pass. We then pass the parking pass gate. We then get to the parking lot. We park our car. We walk to Hollywood Studio, like we walk to the ticket gate to get in as a person, and then once we're inside, then we have to run to the ride because we didn't realize there was a reservation system. So that was what we thought. But then we thought, okay, what if we can cut out one of those steps? Because if we go to the Swan and Dolphin parking lot and we walk to the boardwalk and we go past that and we go to I think it's the Yacht and Beach or whatever, there's a boat that takes you to Hollywood Studios. And if we can get on that boat, then we can skip the part where our cars are. Anyways, long story short, we thought we could skip some
now
time.
We're on a
by
list
going
and
to...
we can't get our name off of it. And we're never allowed
Yeah, long
back
story
here
short.
Again.
The Swan and Dolphin that was one of my Swan and Dolphin adventures, was trying to, get on the boat, which the problem
Did
with that plan, if you followed that, is that the boat was not running at 4:30 a.m., which we didn't think about.
Right.
They also wouldn't let us in because we didn't have a hotel reservation. But we got in anyways by just going through a car. But I also say the Swan and Dolphin when I'm not doing nefarious things. Have you ever been there? Have you ever stayed there?
Nope.
Okay.
And well, I refuse to until they put a light on the top of it.
Have you seen the new Swan and Dolphin? Have you
I
seen
saw the
new
Swan
and...
Yeah, the new medical center.
Yeah. Dude, what is going on? Can somebody pull up a picture of Reflections, the new Disney resort, and then also pull up a picture of the new Swan and Dolphin edition? It is terrifying.
You know what, though? No, Reflections has way more personality than that. I made the joke because I was going to make that TikTok that I was telling you about, my first one. I was going to talk
You want to tell everybody about it?
No, man. I think I'm gonna keep it a surprise. I think I'm gonna keep it in my pocket. What I'm doing is,
this entire podcast is under NDA.
I made a tester. Yeah, no one tell anybody about this. I'm gonna make a tester, and then I'm gonna have the template ready for the next joke that works, and I'm gonna drop it as fast as I can. You know what I mean? Because the quicker you can drop those jokes, the better.
Right.
Now I think it would be lost on a lot of people. People would be like, what?
Yeah. But you think Reflections has more character than that?
Than the swan thing? Yes, absolutely.
Are you looking at the picture of it? It looks like the... It doesn't look like it does.
Well, what I'm trying to say is that, like, the Swan and Dolphin one looks like a place you go to get, like, your kidneys x-rayed. Reflections at least looks like a place
x-rayed.
You go to die. You know what
Your
I mean?
Kidneys
like,
are made of bones? Look at this x-ray. They're right there.
We couldn't find any kidneys, but we found three colons. I'm just saying that Reflections has character. It had character. It felt like a place you'd want to stay versus the Swan and Dolphin one feels corporate.
It looks like a retirement home.
Or like a high-scale prison.
Yeah, I said that. The one thing I said to you was a upscale prison for white collar criminals. And this is going to be in the middle of Walt Disney World.
Do you think the government's mandating that they like make these things look as generic as possible so that when the industry eventually collapses, they can be turned into like low income housing?
Well, there, as we know from our friend Rob, there's no low income housing in Orlando.
I know.
We have to have some good stories, though, from our time running around Orlando, but not in the parks itself. I remember one time.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. I know. I'm not. I remember one time that we stayed at like a Hilton, or maybe it was the Wyndham, where it had like a pirate ship.
Yeah, there was a big pirate ship one. And it was pretty intense. And I remember that they charged us like $35 a day per person to stay there. And we didn't do it. We didn't use the resort at all. You know what I mean? Other than to look at it. And we wandered around.
Yeah.
But we didn't really use the resort.
Yeah, that was our fault.
We did stay at the fake Grand Floridian, though, which was very nice.
Yes, we do have a video about that.
Yeah.
That place was nice.
It was incredible for what it cost.
The problem is I get calls from them every week now.
Who?
Hi, is this Kevin? Yes. Hi, I'm blah 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 from Diamond Resorts. I'm here to tell you that you just won $10,000.
No.
Yes. Every single week. Every single week I have to hang up. Hey,
why aren't we recording
this?
Why aren't we recording
these? You just won $10,000.
Why aren't we
in
why
vacations?
Aren't we recording these? Oh my gosh. That's incredible. Do you just hang up on them or do you
yeah, I do
say
now.
Like
at first oh no, I mean like at this point I'm like I don't even know what to like I don't want them to get that far into their spiel. I don't know what's worse. I don't know what to do when people call me in general, but I really don't know what to do when people like scammers call me. Now it's not a scam, I guess. They're just trying to sell me a timeshare. And I really want to be like, why would I sell? Why would I get this, you know, $10,000 timeshare when I stayed at your 3-bedroom suite for like $100?
Right? Did they give you a price? Is that what they're looking for? $10K?
I don't know. I think what they meant was like, you just saved $10,000 in vacations. All you have to do is buy this like $40,000 timeshare, that kind of thing. That's what I have to imagine what it is. It's either that or I really did win. And they're just trying to call me.
They're just trying to, sir. Do you understand?
Sir,
we have money for you.
Won, and I'm like, yeah. Stop calling me. I'm like, no, you won $20 million.
What do you want us to do with it, sir? Do you know how much this money weighs? There's just a guy carrying that money around, sir.
We got it all in Sacagawea dollars.
Is
Sacagawea on the dollar? Is that that's her name, right? Sacagawea?
I think so. I believe it is.
That doesn't sound
right, Kevin. I believe
it is.
Sacagawea? Yes.
Is that Sacagawea? It sounds bad. It sounds rude.
It does sound rude, but there's
a lot of aggressive syllables. So, okay, somebody saw it's Sacagawea.
Sacagawea.
It's Sacagawea. Is it Sacagawea or is it Sacagawea? Because Special Bunny's saying it's Sacagawea. Is it Sacagawea?
All I have to say
way
is
in way out. What is way out?
If you have a bag of them, it sounds like the plural of them as well.
Hold on. Special Bunny just said way as in way out. Like way out? Like what does way out mean? Pronounced way as in way. Sacagawea?
Like you're way out there, bro.
Sacagawea. Pronounced way as in way. Sacagawea. Then why have I always heard it pronounced Sacagawea? Wait, where's the Jawea? Yeah, probably. Jawea. Sacagawea? Do they pronounce it Sacagawea Night at the Museum? Can somebody figure this out? Special Bunny says, I don't know. I learned a lot about Lewis and Clark in high school, and they pronounced it that way in the books I listened to. Lewis and Clark narrated the books you listened to?
High school made Christopher Columbus out to be like a cool dude. You can't trust anything you learned in school.
Yo, what's up? I'm Lewis Smith, and I'm Clark Davis. And, you know, we used to be explorers, but now we run a Fiverr account where we can narrate your audiobook. We explored most of the Louisiana Purchase.
And now we're one of Fiverr's preferred
This is Audible. Okay, but I don't know if I trust this. Google says Sacagawea, so I'm right? Great.
I mean, is that just what you're looking to hear?
I mean, I was going to keep going with the bit until somebody said I was right. It could be a potato situation, Special Bunny. What do you mean?
You mean like two potatoes?
Like two potatoes? How many potatoes are we talking?
You know what? If I had two potatoes, I'd cut them up and make French fries because I could go for French fries right now. Oh, my God.
I would mash those puppies up. I actually made potatoes earlier tonight.
You know what, though? How do you bake a baked potato?
Oh, I don't bake potatoes.
You don't bake a potato, bro?
I mean, I bake potatoes, but I don't make a baked potato. You know what I mean?
Why?
I'm not into it.
What happened to you as a child that you didn't grow to love
baked
potatoes?
A baked potato, mashed potatoes are incredible. Potato wedges are incredible. And a baked potato just can't, it just doesn't understand what it wants to be. I know.
That's why you dress it up.
A baked potato, I imagine a baked potato likes the movie Soul, because Soul was just like, you could just, you know, be a potato. And then he's like, yeah, that's all I need. And while the other potatoes are like mashed potatoes, they're like, I know what I am. Mashed potatoes watch Ratatouille, baked potatoes watch Soul. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Remember when you tried to convince me that I should eat only potatoes?
I think I'm going to do it.
You're going to convince me or you're going to eat only potatoes?
I'm going to eat only potatoes.
And that's going to convince me.
Yeah. Once you see how good I look after I do it. And once you see how I can start to kind of float.
So I have to eat only potatoes.
Only potatoes for 2 weeks. Yeah.
Can I put butter on them?
No.
Can I put pepper?
No.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So what do I eat? How do I, what? So I can't put pepper. What about red cayenne pepper?
No.
Paprika?
You can cook them any way you want.
You say this every time I ask you, and it makes no sense because I keep saying, can I do it like this? And the answer is always no, but then you end it with, you can cook it any way you want. And then I say, how about this? And
you
say,
you can bake them. You can mash them. You can saute them. You can roast them. You can eat potatoes however you want, but just go full Mark Watney. Because what's interesting about potatoes is they have everything. They have almost everything you need as a human in them. It's pretty wild. It's pretty great.
So you're telling me that if I eat only potatoes, I can be a magician?
I think you could unlock all your true potential, yes.
Well, wouldn't I get, like,
I'm not
really
saying that
starchy?
By only eating potatoes, you will suddenly get the ability to just, like, pull rabbits out of your hats and stuff.
People that don't read the chat and listen to this podcast are going to be very confused.
I'm reading the chat, and I'm in the podcast, and I'm super confused.
I think he lost all that weight just from mashing those potatoes.
No, but what's interesting about it is that if you just do that, you will you will detox out of sugar, because the potato is just a simple carbohydrate. It's a simple starch, so your body breaks it down relatively easily. What's happening to your tongue and to your palate is you're completely resetting your palate, so that when you start to eat again, you just taste the salt and sugar like in everything.
So what makes me lose weight? Eating nothing but starch for 2 weeks, or afterwards when I can't eat anything else?
I'll send you the book from the scientist that Penn Jillette did the thing on.
What does the book say? Chapter 1, eat only potatoes. Chapter 2.
Essentially, yeah.
What could it possibly say?
I can't, like, it's been such a minute since I've,
here's my book of recipes.
I forget the name of the guy, but the guy was hired to do, like, studies for NASA on nutrition for, like, long-term, like dense nutrition for astronauts and, like, long-term travel. Like in space. And so they're like, can a human, like, what does a human really need to function and run if you remove anything else out of, like, you know, like, let, we just let, let's try to be the most efficient. And, like, you know, like, that's the reason why in The Martian, that movie, The Martian, you know, they do the potatoes thing, and the potatoes last him like practically a year, because potatoes are just very nutrient dense with all of the, you know, all the razzmatazz that the body needs. They're really great.
I'm going to write a book to accompany the only potato diet. It's going to be a book of recipes. And it's going to be recipe 1, mashed potatoes. Ingredients, potatoes.
His name is Ray.
His name is Ray
Penn
Potato.
Penn called him like Cray Ray, Crazy Ray.
He is a potato.
Yeah.
This man is a potato, and he is pro potato.
Who is your favorite magician?
Chris Angel, Mind Freak. Because I like the way he freaks my mind.
Dude, I'm going to leave this podcast right now.
No,
what did
no,
you
no.
just say?
Chris Angel, Mind Freak. Because the way he freaks my mind.
That guy, you know what? I have to watch what I'm saying.
you know I'm joking. My favorite magician's actually this. I think his name's Kyle. He's a kid magician. He was a kid a while back.
He was a kid. Now he's a full grown man. I know who you're talking about.
You know
the
what
YouTube
talking about.
Video. He lives in perpetuity as a child in that one video on YouTube. But yeah, outside of that, he's now a grown man.
he was really great at deadpan.
Yes, he was. And I saw a video of him. I think he was actually on Fool Us recently.
Is he better now that he's older?
Well, it's interesting. He's finding his voice, because how an audience reacts to that kind of deadpan humor from a child is way stronger than an adult man in terms of like the writing. You could be super weak with the writing, and everyone's gonna laugh at a kid who talks like that. You know what I mean? But but once you get older, you've got to really write good jokes with the magic tricks. You can't just rely on being young and dead faced.
Back to potatoes.
Bon Appetit did a really great episode on mashed potatoes. I should send you, because they really break down and demystify.
I'm amazing at mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but you got to watch this, because the way that they mash potatoes really blows my mind, because they bake the potatoes to mash them. Because you remember, mashed potatoes are just cooked potatoes that are mashed up, right? So they bake the potatoes, then they rice them. They rice baked potatoes, and then they mix in the fat and cream. The fat and the salt.
So if you did mashed potatoes that way, but you couldn't put any butter or salt in them or cream, would it make them that much better?
Would potatoes, if over the 2 weeks, oh my God. Would it make a difference if I could put butter and cream in them?
Also, what I like about the potato diet is that I could just eat potatoes every day. And then when I think of, I'm hungry, what should I have right now? I don't have to think, okay, did I get this in? Did I get my fruit in? Did I get my vegetables? You know, I could just say, I'm going to have a potato.
Right. You know what? I really love that. That's a solid pitch for me in terms of the potato diet, is that it removes, what am I going to eat?
And that always stresses me out, because when I'm like, okay, I want to eat healthy, and I'm not, you know, trying to starve myself, I'm like, okay, I'm hungry. Well, let's have some fruit. Don't have too many bananas. Cause if I leave myself alone, I'll have like 6 bananas a day. And
really?
You know, I gobble them suckers down. Yeah. I chain smoke bananas. And so I love bananas. I had 4 tangerines today. I love fruit. Fruit's delicious. I love bananas.
I did, like, every time you go to the grocery store, do you just get a bushel of bananas?
I get 12 bananas every week. And I force myself to only eat 2 a day. Because if not...
That math does not check out.
Well, one day a week, I get in my time. On Saturday... Fine.
I'm like the Jesus Christ of bananas. Do you understand? I can make 12 bananas.
I'm like God.
I'm the Jesus Christ of bananas.
on the seventh day, I rest and I don't eat the banana that day. No, really, on Saturday night, I get into my time machine and jump to Monday morning, so I can get more bananas.
The thing about bananas are is that they're not consistently quantified per, like, bushel in the grocery store. You just can't grab one and know there's going to be 8 in there.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
When you get bananas, do you buy them one at a
time? Are your bananas in, like, a burlap sack and you can't see how many there are? You got to feel around?
Well, no, I'm just saying, do you take the time to stand there and count how many bananas you're buying?
Yeah, I mean, I
count 12 bananas out?
It's not freaking Sesame Street. I'm not like going 1, 2, 3. You know, I get.
Are you the Rain Man of bananas? Do you just walk up to a table of bananas? And you're like 127.
Yeah.
What? What? What was that, Kevin? There's 127 bananas here in the grocery store. I only count 124. No. There's 3 in the back room for someone's lunch. Mine. Because I work here. Because I'm the master of bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, what do you mean? I'm so confused. When you shop at the grocery store, you see, like, bananas, you know, you want to get 12 of them, you get 6 and 6. How is this a difficult thing? You can see
what
how many bananas
there
are. What do you
mean you get 6 and 6? What I'm saying is you walk up to get a bushel of bananas, and I just grab a goddamn bushel. I don't make sure that there's 6 in the
Like, with your eyes closed?
I'm just looking for the one that's almost yellow. I'm looking for the one that's almost yellow. And I just grab the bushel. I don't care how many are attached to each other. Sometimes I'll get between only six, like four that are attached to each other.
It's between six
sometimes
and
I'll get
ten.
One, maybe one that has like eight. You're attached. Actually, I don't count. You're telling me that you count?
I don't need to count. It's not. I just know.
You just always know you're bringing home 12 bananas.
I go into that situation.
How does that happen?
I go into that situation wanting to come out with 12 bananas, and I always do because I just know. I'm not sitting there going one, two. You just look and you see eight bananas, four bananas, eight, six bananas. You know, ten
so
bananas,
your bananas,
two bananas.
Are only two layered is what you're saying. It's just top row, bottom row banana.
Is your banana in some sort of like circular,
yes,
prism?
I have circular banana bushels. I have circular banana bushels. You seem to have flat banana bushels. I have circular banana bushels.
My banana bushels, it's very obvious. It's 2x4, 8.
Yes. It's that's not how they always roll, bro. And you can't.
So you're telling me in Pennsylvania, you're telling me in Penn, I go to get some ban, and I can't get a ban in a bunch. I got to get them in a ball. So I go to Penn to get my ban, and I got to get them in a ball.
No one here talks like
that.
If you come up here and talk like that, someone will institutionalize you.
I'm going to Penn to get my ban.
I'm not 100% sure.
So I'm looking for ban in Penn, and I got to get them in a ball, even though I want them in a bunch. Can I do an only banana diet? Do bananas have all the nutrients I need?
Only bananas. You pay me $4 a month and you can watch me eat 12 bananas a week.
See, this is ridiculous.
Two a day.
The thing about the all potato diet that I can't get over is telling people that I'm doing the all potato diet.
Well, you don't because tell people. You just show up skinnier.
you hide it and then write a book about it. See, I feel like, you know, anytime somebody says, I'm going to eat like this, these people eat. Like, I'm going to eat like the pioneers ate. Or I'm going to eat like astronauts eat. It's always like, hey, you want to eat like a person? Just, you know.
Well, you know what the problem is really here is that as evolutionarily speaking, we as humans are eating for a winter that's never coming. So we just keep getting fat. The end.
Does anyone have any
in the chat
have
questions?
Any questions about potatoes? Keep them potato related.
Oh my God.
What is poutang?
Poutine.
Oh, poutine.
Oh my God. There was a poutine truck outside of the salon the other day, and I walked up there and they had gluten-free chicken nugget poutine, and I bought it and it was delicious. Oh my God, it was so good. It was so cold outside, and it was this poutine food truck just parked in the middle of nowhere.
You know where they have the best chicken sandwiches? At Chickers. Have you ever been to Chickers and had a chicken sandwich? You gotta check them out.
I have.
You gotta check them out.
Zaxby's is better.
Ooh, I don't know. The chicken sandwich at Chickers, it's good.
We opened it up to the chat to ask questions, and their response was to just repeat the word poutine over and over again.
I know. Poutine. Is it poutine? Okay, so
poutine.
Fable says it's poutang. Poutine?
It's French fries.
Fable saying that it's poutine.
With gravy, cheese curds, hopefully that are starting to slowly melt due to the heat of the French fries. And then whatever other toppings you want upon it. It's very, very good.
I always imagined that poutine was some sort of, I don't know. I always imagined it was like a little coffee. Like a tiny little coffee. Like a little coffee mug. Like a little espresso. Some poutine.
Do you think that the story lights what they were going to put into that golf ball ride were going to be, yeah. Do you think that the story lights they were going to put into Spaceship Earth were going to be more akin to the projection mapping that we would see on the castle, or like the laser fiber optic kind of wizardry we see in Mystic Manor?
They were literally just going to be constellations, so in the final scene they could put Toy Story characters on the ceiling. But, oh, hold on. Hold on. We got a picture. Are you looking at this?
The Potato Hotel? Wait, the you big can't say Idaho something as ridiculous as put Toy Story characters on the ceiling and then keep on moving on.
Big what Idaho. What do you mean? I'm on the Potato Hotel. Sorry. Everybody wants us to talk to the Potato Hotel. We'll come back to that. Oh my gosh, look at the interior of the Potato Hotel. Oh my gosh, it's luxurious. The thing is, though,
you do not want to fart in this place. One fart and your vacation's ruined. It's going to smell like that fart the entire time you're there.
And you can't put salt and
pepper
on there.
There's no clearing a fart out of a potato.
It looks like a bunker.
That's above ground and completely vulnerable.
It looks like a bunker that's asking to get hit.
Right. If it was a real goddamn potato hotel, that son of a bitch would be buried. I want to sleep underground where it's warm. And there's worms. Like a potato.
Like a potato. What's your favorite way to make potatoes?
A baked potato is good.
Ugh. Wrong.
I like a baked potato. I like to dress a baked potato. I really do. But
here's
the thing.
I like to undress a baked potato.
The way to bake a potato is you you get a nice plump turgid potato, you wash it, scrub it, get it nice and clean, and then you drench it in like a good clean vegetable oil, like an olive oil or an avocado oil.
A grape
you just get
seed
like
oil.
The skin. Get yeah, you just massage it in there, you get it all the get that skin soaked in oil, and then you coat the entire surface in super coarse like sea salt. And then you just put the potato straight into the oven at like 450 degrees for like 50, 60 minutes. It's incredible. It's incredible. The salted, like oily skin, like crisps up. Oh, it's so good. So like you get potato skins with like soft, supple, perfectly baked potato inside that you slice in half and then just load with like cheese and sour cream. Good Lord. I need to go bake a potato, man.
Let me tell you how I make my mashed potatoes. So, okay, first off, what the hell are we talking about? What kind of potato are you talking? I mean, if you're making baked potatoes, it's gotta be russet, right? You gotta use a russet. You can't do a bold baked potato. You can't do Yukon baked potato.
You can bake any kind of potato.
Oh, of course you can bake it, but can you make a baked potato? You can't do like a fingerling baked potato.
You certainly can.
Oh my gosh, you know what I just thought of? Like at a cocktail party, you have tiny little baked potatoes out of fingerling potatoes. Why aren't we doing this?
I was here when you suggested fingerling baked potatoes, and I rebuked your...
We have two things at this cocktail party. Fingerling potatoes and poutine.
Types of potatoes. A Yukon is a good one to bake.
A baked potato. Well, yeah, but like a baked potato is so obviously a russet potato. A Yukon potato, I mean, you're going to need a pretty fat Yukon in order to get what you want to get in there.
There's this potato farm like about 20, 30 minutes from my place. And they sell potatoes, man, that are the size of like some infants. And you bake one of those and you've got a meal.
Well, you're not supposed to bake infants, Dan. That's terrible. You're a father. You should know that.
I'm not baking infants. I'm baking infant-sized baked potatoes.
Oh, gotcha. 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 Okay. See, that's where I got confused. Because the way you said that was very confusing. Can I tell you how I make my mashed potatoes?
Yes, please.
First of all, Yukon Gold. Get out of here with anything else. You skin them just enough. You leave most of the skin on, but you create slits. Right, you create some slits in the potato in order to let the water get in. And then, you do a cold water, ice water bath. You have some slits in the potato, that cold water, it's getting some of that starch out. And then once they're nice and cool, you dry them off. You still got the slits. Is everybody clear on the importance of the slits for these potatoes?
Mm-hmm.
So you got the slits. Then you boil your water. You put them in the boiling water 40 minutes. Of course, you turn the heat down and let it boil, like, down to low. You let them boil for 40 minutes. Okay, so now you got really soft potatoes. You drain them. You put them back in the same pot. Nobody has time to do multiple dishes. Now, here is where you got to get pure Irish butter because it's delicious and it's way better than French butter and it's definitely way better than any other butter you're going to get. Irish butter. So you get some Irish butter. You put just a big old chunk in there. You just put a big old chunk and then you put the lid back on. Those potatoes are still hot and they're going to do magic to that butter. That's what's going on. Then you put a little bit of cream. You get your salt. You know, I do garlic powder. Some people think it's better to chop your own garlic, and I don't know. I think it's really hard to get that garlic fine enough for you not to be able to bite into it. But some people like the bite of the garlic, so
I'm here with the garlic powder. I approve of the garlic powder.
Yeah, because like with the garlic, some people like get caught off guard. Some people like to get a crunchy piece of garlic and a garlic explosion in their mouth, but I don't like that very much. So get some garlic powder, get some salt, get some pepper. You got rosemary, you got thyme. You know, maybe chop up some of that, put it in there. Rosemary for sure. Thyme optional. And then, you know, you just keep going until that consistency is nice. You don't want it thick. You want it almost like you want to plop it down and have it kind of settle. You don't want it to be that thick, you know. So that means a lot of butter and a lot of cream. And that's how I make my mashed potatoes.
Sounds delicious. Now I want mashed potatoes more than I want a baked potato. Man!
Do you want to know how I make my potato wedges? I just made them tonight.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
Okay. So, Yukon Gold again. We're not amateurs here. Although, I will say russet potatoes sometimes work better. So, you get your potatoes. You chop them into wedges. You want the wedges to be thin. Okay? You want them to be thin wedges. So, that means each potato, you're not just getting four. You're getting eight, sometimes 12.
You know, I am also in agreement with you of double wedging when you slice.
Like, you don't want single wedge.
No. You don't want quarters when you're wedging. You want eighths at the least.
You want eighths at the most you want eighths. Because, yeah, like you could do a tenth. You could do a 12th. Anyway, so you get them down like that. You put them in your ice bath. Get some of the starch out of there. Get them ready to go. Then you pat them dry. You put them in a big old bowl. And then you put some olive oil in the bowl. You put some red cayenne pepper, you fresh cracked pepper, you get some coarse rough sea salt in there, paprika, a lot of paprika, a lot of garlic powder, and a lot of onion powder. And then Parmesan, really fine Parmesan. And you throw that Parmesan in there, and then with your hands, and you get that olive oil, you give them a good toss, you get them all mushy, you mix them around, then you put more of everything I just said on there just to get them real nice and good. And then once you're done with that, you grease a pan. I know there's already olive oil on there, but you grease a pan, preheat the oven to 400 degrees, and you want that pan. So some people, they tell you to do it on parchment paper, and that works too, but I think it works best just straight on a cookie pan. Just get that, you know, on that metal. You get it as close to wherever your oven gets hot as you can. And you light those babies up. So you got 30 minutes on the first side. And when you turn that over, you want it to be dark. You don't want, you know, you want that Parmesan to be pretty much as crispy as it could get without being burnt. And you want that whole thing to be tan. You flip them all over. You get them tan on the other side. That's going to only take about 15 minutes. It's already hot as hell by now. You take those babies out. But here's the end. This is the most important part. You know, that seasoning's still on there and it's good. But you take those out. You put them on a plate. That's when we go parsley, parsley, parsley. More Parmesan, not crispy. So you got both the crispy Parmesan and the fresh Parmesan. And then one more round of coarse rough salt. And if you're really getting frisky, put some garlic powder. That's how you make the potato wedges.
I love that. That sounds great.
Would you like to share any of your potato recipes?
I did. I shared my baked potato recipe.
Right.
Fine. You've already done what I've asked.
Well then,
good day, sir.
Sir, good day. So, yeah, I mean, and then my French fries. Oh boy, French fries are like French fries. I know we talked about this before. You got to double fry
when you're what?
doing French fries.
Double fry? Oh, yeah, you the French fry itself. Yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
100%. You put them in at 300. You get them really hot. Take them out, pat and dry, up to like 450, 400. And then they get crispy.
My grill just recently that I bought came with a, like a fry basket and like a big fryer, like a thing to put over top of your basic natural gas stove. So next time you come visit, we got to fry some stuff up.
Oh, I'd love to. We'll talk about your grill here in a sec, but I want to focus on the fact that Shane just called the potato skin a shell. Shane says, do you eat your potatoes with the shell?
Yes. Yeah, do you peel your potatoes?
I eat it with the skin. Me?
Before you mash them?
Well, no, you want that. You want that skin in the potato, yeah, but you also I emphasize the
I know slit. The slits. I know the slits.
That's Jesus. What the slits are.
Jesus.
So wait, Christ, so you're slits. Is this a new grill? Your old grill exploded.
That the one that exploded. Although we gutted it and rebuilt it, and my dad got it up and working again.
Oh, do you like making potatoes on the grill?
Yes, actually. Yeah.
I love when I'm just out there grilling, you know, because I'm an American man.
Like a villain?
But I love when I'm grilling and I just do everything on the grill. Like green beans on the grill. I did that the other day. Whoa, boy. They are the same, but a lot less time.
Yeah, you could put like full-blown crock pots and pots and pans out on the
because a like grill is just an oven that you can open. Wait.
Right. Oh, you can open the it's a convertible oven.
Yes.
With bottom heat instead of top heat. It's a reverse convertible oven.
It's a reverse convertible oven. It's like a car that you could only get into from the top. It's like the DeLorean of ovens.
What I like to do is take like three sticks of asparagus and wrap it heavily in thick cut bacon, and then make like a big tray out of thick aluminum foil and put it on the grill, and then lay all of the bacon wrapped asparagus out on the tray, and then the bacon starts to like render and all the fat starts to gather in the tray, and then the bacon starts to fry itself in its own fat around the asparagus. It's incredible. Yeah. It's the best.
That sounds good. I love cooking.
I am gonna make I do have a cooking video coming up. If we're this deep in the podcast. No, we're I do have a video.
Yeah, go ahead and plug yourself for everybody. If you don't know who Dan is, but
why are you listening? Why are you this far in?
Who the hell are you?
I'm Disney Dan. On YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. But I'm doing a video where I've been researching what Walt Disney ate. And man, he did not eat much.
Clara's Glitter asks, what can we not do? And I can say that musically, I'm not very talented. I can play the guitar, but I cannot sing, and I cannot draw worth anything. Now, Dan can draw, and he can sing. But I don't think you can play the guitar, right?
I can't. I have small, aggressive, fat hands, and they just don't work well with a guitar. Or any instrument for that matter. Also I can't do that thing where people like put their legs behind their heads. I can't do that either. That's not something I have in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Not my body. The only real thing that I can do, I have puppeteered in a video. I did do a film where I was puppeteering, but I would never call myself a puppeteer because that's like I put that position on a pedestal.
Puppeteering.
Yeah, like that's like I don't think even if I became a professional puppeteer I would ever like because that's like you know I look up to puppeteers so much I would never consider myself a puppeteer, and I don't think I'm good enough to call myself a puppeteer. But regardless, yes, I have puppeteered for a film, like a very small indie thing. I actually did it as I use Nate's puppet to do it. But what was I saying? Body stuff.
Yeah,
I'm not good with.
Doing it.
I did. I think I did a good job. I watched. I mean, the footage looked good, and also I didn't have a monitor to watch myself, so I was really just going at it. But yeah, my body can't do a lot of weird things. I am. Let's see. The only like my body is like
what? What does
I'm
that
tall.
Statement even That's, mean? My body like, can't really do a lot of weird things. Quote Kevin Perjurer, February 18th, 2021.
I'm tall. Like you know the things like I'm athletic. I'm tall, but I can't do fun things with my body. Like I can't touch my.
You want me to play Twister? Forget it.
Forget it.
For I can't do fun things with my body. All right.
I'm a tight end. You know what I mean?
You
want
to go body surfing? Count me out.
I'm like a tight end. I'm a post in basketball. I'm a tight end in football. If anybody gives those analogies, I'm a first baseman in baseball. If anybody isn't, you know, I don't play any of
these
sports anymore.
How do those things relate?
These are metaphors. I don't play those sports anymore. I haven't played those.
But how do those things relate?
How do those positions?
Yeah.
Trying to give people an idea of what I look like, because those positions are all played by the same body type.
With a goatee.
Yes. No, but when I say I can't do fun things with my body, I can't touch my tongue on my nose. I can't wiggle my ears. I can't, you know, do anything. The only thing I can do with my body that's somewhat fun, that is above board, is I can put a pencil above my lip and below my lip and pucker my lips and hold them both at the same time.
Wow. I've never seen you do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, buckle up. You know.
So next time we get together, I want to see this happen.
Right. Yeah, no, it's you just hand me two pencils. I'll know what to do. You don't have to say a thing. It's
Does it only pencils? Could you do it with Sharpies?
You can imagine what it looks like. I could probably take a picture of my mouth and just put it in the chat, and we can delete it real quick. Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, people know what my mouth looks like.
Yeah, there's going to be all kinds of weird two pencil Kevin mouth fanfics.
He put the first pencil above his lip, and then no one knew what he could do with the second pencil until he put it below his lip. Oh yeah. The Nick at Night Suite voice, bringing it back. Leave those kids at home.
WandaVision in like 4 hours, man.
Dude, I'm so excited. And Muppet Show, it's like Christmas Eve. I'm so excited. Dan.
I'm doing the evolution of Miss Piggy right now. And so I'm
excited. Oh my gosh, that's
going to
be a great
watch.
One. So you have the one of her, like the first appearance she ever made, right?
Yeah, on the Herb Alpert show, yeah.
Yes, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I love Miss Piggy has the most fascinating. I think it's more interesting than Kermit, honestly, because of how big of a star she became. And then also because of how she was just tossed between who was it? Was it Hunt and Oz before
Richard? Yeah, Richard Hunt and Frank Oz were the first season, but by season 2, it was Miss Piggy was born in season 2. She became a star in season 2.
Right, but I think even like halfway through season 1, they knew it was just Oz.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like Hunt's voice for Miss Piggy.
Right. And they're not all too dissimilar. Like they're in the same wheelhouse. You could tell that they were both playing around with the same kind of voice. Her first appearance on the Muppet Show, it's Richard Hunt voicing her. And it doesn't, you know, it's in that dance number, in that dance routine.
In which one?
She's like in a.
Are we talking about are we talking about recording order, or are we talking about episode or like air premiering order?
I think I'm talking about premiering order.
Because Joel Grey would be the first one to premiere. The first one to be shot would be it'd be one of the first two. One of, and I think the second one was Lydia the Tattooed Lady. And then do you talk in the video about the love interest, Kermit's love interest that was cut after the pilot that nobody's ever seen?
Right. No, I don't have any of that written. I need to put that in. My favorite thing about your research into the like origins of the Muppet Show was the story of Fozzie, though. And like how Fozzie what it was, a cowboy in like the first episode that was recorded,
and they re-recorded that bit to be like, do I sound like John Wayne?
Fozzie, will you get out of here? Yeah, yeah.
What? Why don't you just get on stage?
Okay, so you're saying that the first time Frank did her the first time, and then Richard, and then it was back and forth?
I don't know. I'm just asking because the Joel Grey episode, I believe, was the first one to air, but somebody find the, what was the first one to be shot? Somebody find that. And actually, I think the first two were shot almost simultaneously. Maybe I'm misremembering, but I remember that it was like, I mean, I don't know which episode had Temptation in it, but that was one of the first ones. The Lydia the Tattooed Lady was the first sign of like, oh, these two are like, but I think that one was shot later. I think they shot Lydia, the sketch, but then they shot the behind the scenes, like where he was like, oh, Pinky, do you know Lydia? And she's like, do you know my left fist? Bam. I think that was, you know, later. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Season one is actually one of my,
It took her a couple episodes to sock it to Kermit, if I remember correctly.
It was a punch at first, and then it was the hi-ya, and then that's when they knew that Oz was going to do it for the rest of the show because
hi-ya,
so great.
But she was just a glorified whatnot, you know, just like she was just one of the cast of Jim's, you know, ensemble to begin with. She was nothing special. She was just another one of the characters, and it was the Muppet Show and Frank that kind of like made her the star that she became. But once once you get to the Muppet movie in 79, she's more or less, she's just like, her hairstyle changes with the times. And her like eye makeup will change.
Her facial structure changes significantly. The build of her face.
It doesn't change significantly. It just thins out and fattens up, and thins out and fattens up. It just the fullness of her face changes dramatically, but the shape of her face doesn't change dramatically. Her build doesn't change. It's just the shape of her face changes.
I remember, I think it's Muppets Take Manhattan where it was like, that's it. Like, that is Piggy. But I think, I was pretty sure in the Muppet movie, Miss Piggy still looked a little off. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Well, in the Muppet movie, she was like super polished. And she was all, and she was like shot with like that filter. You know what I mean? The Muppet movie is when she switched over to foam latex, and when she started to be flocked, and so that's when she got set into the primary Miss Piggy was with the Muppet movie, and that was about halfway through season three when and then that flocked latex thrown Miss Piggy started getting used in the in shoots for season three, around the same time that the workshop finished building her.
Yeah, maybe it is just the eye placement. It just, it looks, her skin, I always thought, you know, the Muppet movie and that one always looked like very much the first season. But then Muppets Take Manhattan, it's like, oh, that's just Miss Piggy. And that's what's continuing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's her, it's really her hair, her ears, and like the size and shape of her snout. That's really what sets her apart.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's her snout. It's her snout that changes. And it's also, it's not even that her snout changes. It's the way that the performer performs with it, because the snout, the middle finger is laying right in the tip of the snout in terms of like where the puppet is. Where the puppeteer's hand is inside of Miss Piggy. And so like similarly how Kermit's always like doing that like frowny face, kind of like where he like where the four fingers we pulled down to the wrist, Piggy will do that too. Frank would do that too in Piggy, and just pull her nose down dramatically, which made it look like this like freaking ski slope of like a face in profile. It was terrible looking in profile, but from face on, it always looked great. And her nostril shapes changed, but it's just subtle refinements on the same kind of shape and elements, and it's the wig. It's really, depending on the kind of hairstyle she's going to be wearing, the body is modified to kind of deal with that. And so that her face will slim up sometimes because certain hairstyles, just if she were to stay as full faced as she would, the hairstyles just wouldn't look, they wouldn't land. They wouldn't look like they looked on a normal human head and be recognizable.
We could talk about the Muppets all night, but that actually, our time is up.
There you go.
Dan, thank you so much for joining us on the Patreon podcast.
Truly was a pleasure.
And to everybody listening, thank you for donating. Remember, if you want to come live to these podcasts and chat with us, just go to come to the Discord if you're $10 and up, or, you know, upgrade your Patreon. But regardless, however much you're donating, if it's just $1, thank you so much. Thanks for helping us keep the lights running and helping us keep our production value up. And I hope you enjoyed this, and we will see you on the next podcast.